Here we go. Board of Supervisors will reconvene. We're moving to item five, which is presentations from the public. And if there's anyone here that hasn't filled out a blue card that wants to speak, they're on the edge of the desk over there. And if you could hand them to our CAO, and she'll bring them up here to the clerk. So this time slot is for information from the public. No action or discussion will be conducted on matters presented at this time. You will be allowed 3 minutes for your presentation. The chair can extend the time to 5 minutes for appropriate circumstances. Written comments can be presented if so desired by providing a minimum of 7 copies to the clerk. When addressing the board, please state your name for the record prior to providing your comments. Please address the board as a whole through the chair. Comments should be limited to matters within the jurisdiction of the board. And those of you that are online, they need to do what, Hannah?
Star nine.
If you have comment, to be ready for that, because sometimes it does not happen quickly, does it? So first one up in-house I have is Misty Clifford.
Can she go before me?
Her name?
Marissa.
Martinez?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Wonderful.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, board. My name is Marissa Martinez. I'm here on behalf of SCIU 2015, the IHSS Caregivers Union in the state of California. I'm also here representing the IHSS caregivers here in Siskiyou County. So as you all know, we had proposed a contract, a very, in my opinion, it was a very bold contract. We humbly come before you today and I'll let you know that we are, we do want to pursue something potentially in the future. We did receive your counter proposal, and I do realize that it took, it's been quite some time, it's been about 6 months that we haven't been in contact. I apologize. There's been a lot of internal technical things going on with us. So I just want to be here, let you guys know that we are still here trying to establish a rapport with not just you guys, but the caregivers here in Siskiyou County. I do implore you to consider the caregivers of Siskiyou County because, truthfully, they do a whole lot of work. They're caring for human beings who are either disabled or severely or aged, you know, elderly or incapacitated. And these are most times these are people who have lived accomplished lives, who have let's say, you know, raised their children, who have had careers, maybe veterans, whatever the case is. But and these people have approached a point in their life where they can no longer do for themselves. That's disheartening, and it's somewhat humiliating when you approach that point in your life, you know. And what the IHSS caregivers do is they restore integrity to these people so that they can stay in the home where they raise their children. So they could stay in the home where they've been with their spouse, the only home they've ever known. And all I would expect is for you to please consider these people. Consider them so that they could be able to purchase homes. They could be able to put back into the economy, because I guarantee you, any investment that you invest in IHSS caregivers is going to be an investment in your local economy, because they're going to spend their money right here. And considering on every dollar that if they get a dollar raise, you're paying 16 cents on the dollar. The rest is federal and state wages. So I really consider you to think about that. 8 cents on 50 cents, 16 cents on a dollar. The investment is priceless, especially when these are human beings' lives that we're considering. Siskiyou County is one of the only counties that is at minimum wage. These people are getting paid $15.50 to take care of human beings' lives. They do things like injections, meal prep, very specific things, oxygen, you know, all different types, diapering, bathing, all different types of stuff. So I just really want you to consider those things. And thank you for your time, board.
Thank you. Misty Clifford, is that all right? You go now?
Sorry.
Okay, good morning.
Good morning. My name is Misty Clifford. I'm here on behalf of SEIU 2015. We're working on getting higher wages. Pretty soon, fast food is going to $20 an hour. Our caregivers are leaving to go flip hamburgers for $20 an hour, and we need our caregivers. Us being caregivers in the home means that these people can stay in their home and they don't have to go to a nursing home. One of the things that I do is I work with Alzheimer's patients, and some days it's heartbreaking, some days are fun. I've walked in and I've had my client say, "Hi, Auntie, why haven't you come to visit me?" And I've just rolled with it, you know? "Oh, darling, I'm so sorry, I've been so busy. I'm here to visit you today, and I'm changing their diapers, I'm cleaning up after them, I'm getting food thrown at me." And this is not easy work, you know, and we're getting less than our fast food people that are just flipping hamburgers and getting food out the door. We have to go in and scrub, and it's a different type of personal connection that you have with your people. And you have to have the heart for it, and some people that have the heart for it just have to leave because we're not making enough, and we're just asking for just a little bit more so that we can feed our families. I'm doing this while I'm taking care of my two children, and trying to put food on the table and a roof over them while I take care of these people. And we're just asking if we can get a fair wage so that we can keep our caregivers and not have them all go to fast food. Thank you.
Thank you. Cynthia Seela, I think it is. Good morning.
Hi. I'm Cynthia Seela. I work for Income Support Services. I'm here to let you know that I have clients too. And, you know, we're out there. No matter what, 24 hours a day, if we're cold, we have to leave. It doesn't matter what we're doing or if we want to spend time with our family, we have to leave. And we have to go see these people. You know, it's not an easy job. You know, we do a lot for them. And no matter if it's good or bad, we're still there. You know, and if we can't pay our electricity bill or pay rent, we're in the street. And we can't do it on minimum wage. We can't do it. We don't have benefits. We have to pay our own health care. You know, we can't do that on minimum wage. Isn't Sister County all about helping the community? Well, why can't Sister County help us to help the community? We don't get support from Sister County, and I don't understand why. Isn't that what it's all about? I don't understand. We've been here since 1983, and I haven't seen Sister County yet help us to help the community. You know, I thought that's what it was all about. That's why we moved up here, because it was such a great county. You know, I just don't understand it. You know, I mean, it would be nice if we could get some help. You know, all we want is a contract and a raise. That's all we're asking. You know, 16 cents. You know, the state and the federal pays the rest. You know, I don't see that it's a big thing. If we can help the community, and that's what we're doing. You know, I mean, we're out there for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Do we get the holidays off? No. You know, we work 365 days a year. You know, I don't see why we can't get the help. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else in house? Seeing none. Anyone online?
Show another line.
Okay. We'll move on to item 6, consent agenda.
A like apple.
A. And I'll be purpling the letter M.
M like Mary.
M like Mary.
Thank you. And if I could pull item 6L, Public Works.
And are we dropping 6L or
no? Just a little bit of a correction.
All right. So, anyone else? If not, looking for a motion to approve the balance of the consent agenda.
Move to approve.
I have a motion and a second.
Second, thank you.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
All righty. Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Oberyn?
Aye.
And Supervisor Kopsa?
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, item 6A.
We have one hand raised online if you'd like to go back.
Okay, we'll go back to public comment.
Battery 100%. Caller ending in 3987, it is your turn to speak.
Hello?
Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I'm sorry I wasn't able to connect, but you were still on comment.
That's okay. Go ahead.
So, can I make a comment?
Yes. You have 3 minutes.
Okay. Here I go. I'm Kathleen Casey from Mount Shasta, and today I would like to comment on what was said by the Director of Community Development, Richard Dean, at the meeting on December 12th. I was taken by surprise at the time, and also I have had time to read the CCRs of Upton Highlands that Mr. Dean has made available, as I hope you have. The mitigations listed in the CCR, such as walls on the north and east side to block flow, and then to create drainage to direct flow out of the subdivision, illustrates 3 points. Even though it is referred to as debris in the CCR, it was a mud flow. He stated it was not. They were not interested in protecting the neighbors below the subdivision or Mount Shasta City, as the mitigation measures only created the present mud flow problem in those areas. His assertion that if anything, the subdivision protects us is baseless. Where would the mud flow being blocked by the walls and going through the subdivision go? It flows down Everett Memorial to the houses down below, and then the city. How would some houses in the subdivision being required to be on 3-foot foundations help us? Who made these decisions based on what research? Please read the 2004 comment by Mount Shasta Tomorrow that I gave you at the last meeting that predicted this happening. What is needed is an in-depth study of the entire mud flow area by a non-biased geotechnical engineer who is approved by both the county and the city, then have him propose a plan. I appreciate the county looking into funds for mitigation of flooding for everyone. As I have said, it will take a unified effort by the county, Mount Shasta City, the Forest Service, and private entities. Does the flow need to be prevented from even reaching Upton Highlands to protect the subdivision, Mount Shasta City, and innocent victims living below the subdivision in an area that was not in a mud flow zone? If what we experienced was a mild flow, and we should get used to it without looking into stopping it, it's not right. Also, I'd hate to see a moderate or severe flow which could very well occur. We are living in constant fear of future mud flows and forest fires. It has no way for your constituents to live, especially if something can be done. And what about our property values? A lowering of property values would detrimentally affect the county's tax base, too. And I would like to be kept informed of what is being done. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else online?
Hello?
That's all online.
Okay. So we're back to consent agenda item 6A. Supervisor Haupt.
Yeah, I just have a quick question on this. And maybe these are two different projects, but I saw a public meeting announcement on Facebook in Gazelle that also covers the McKinney fire, and I was just wondering if that's part of this grant process. Is there also a meeting that's going to be closer to those affected by the McKinney fire on Plant River?
Good morning. Elizabeth Nielsen, Deputy County Administrator. I just happened to see that announcement this morning on Facebook, and from what I understand, that is a community meeting for a grant that would clean up the area of the mountain fire along Gazelle Callahan Road. This one is a separate project. I will reach out to Jefferson Resource Company to see if they're going to be having any community meetings regarding this project, but based on the post I saw this morning, the community meeting in Gazelle is for a grant application to perform activities where the mountain fire occurred along Gazelle Callahan Road.
Okay. I read both. I read the grant proposals. It seemed like it also affected other areas. The public meeting.
The public meeting?
The public meeting was also going to address other areas for Jefferson Resource Management.
Okay.
That's why I brought up the question.
Okay.
Do you know if that meeting does specifically covers the mountain fire? Is there also something proposed for the west side of that fire in Scott Valley or not?
I was planning to attend that meeting, and I will also reach out and ask that. The only details I know at this time is what I saw on the post.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
I'll get back to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Need to approve. And the motion to approve.
Second.
And second.
Supervisor Help.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Sure.
Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Kopsa.
Aye. Item 6L.
Okay, I just pulled this because in reviewing the form itself, on page 2 of the form, it looks like it reads that the Siskiyou County Department of Public Works would be signing this, along with the Local Transportation Commission. I did verify with Mr. Deeney that they'll correct that form, so it'll say Board of Supervisors Chair for County of Siskiyou, and that's the only correction.
Okay.
So moved with corrections.
Okay. We have a motion. Supervisor Chris, second by Supervisor Valenzuela.
Okay. All righty. Supervisor Help.
Aye.
Excuse me. Supervisor Valenzuela.
Sure.
Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsa.
Aye.
Thank you.
And we'll go to 6M on the consent agenda. And Supervisor Chris.
I'll be recusing myself. He's Ron Chris is a first cousin. So.
Okay.
Okay. For 6M.
So with that, I'm looking for action from the board.
Move to approve.
I have a motion.
Second.
And a second.
Okay. All righty. Supervisor Help.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yep.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Cox.
Aye. Okay. And then we're on item 7A, County Administration. Presentation of method of development of a strategic plan for broadband infrastructure. Good morning. Who is going to be here? Ms. Nielsen, are you it? I see Barbara.
We have Shelley Westall online to speak on the side.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. And I'm sorry if my video is, I'm not able to start it, or I present you with a smiling face this morning. Are you able to see my presentation?
No. Do we have it? Is it part of
I'm
the
sorry.
I'm sorry,
yeah,
Shelley. We were not sent a presentation. We would have to present that from within the board chambers. We're not able to do that through Zoom at this moment.
Oh, okay. Let's see. So I can't share it, but I can talk to you a little bit about it if that works.
Is
and I'll make it quick since it'll be painful to listen to without a slideshow.
So before you start,
let me go ahead.
Shelley, before you start, can you send it to us?
I absolutely can.
How's that? And I'll let you deal with that. And
let me see here.
Do you want to take a few minutes and we'll move on and then we'll come back to you? Is that okay?
That works perfectly.
Okay, we'll get you
set up.
Thank
you.
All right. So with that, we'll move on to 7B, County Administration.
Good morning again.
Good morning.
Elizabeth Nielsen, Deputy County Administrator. This item I will keep very quick. This is for zero emission vehicle charging infrastructure in Siskiyou County. Zero emission vehicle charging infrastructure readiness plans are a critical step in developing a robust and reliable charging system throughout rural counties in California. There are several federal and state grant opportunities that will lessen the impact of upfront capital expenditures for charging systems. However, most rural counties do not have the capacity nor the financial resources to develop a strategy or work plan to take advantage of these opportunities. similar to the broadband presentation that will occur later this morning. The Rural County Representatives of California is engaging with rural counties to support them to apply for the Caltrans Sustainable Communities Competitive Grant within the Sustainable Transportation Planning Grant Program. And it is estimated that approximately $350,000 would be allocated to each rural county if their applications were awarded. If awarded, a primary use of grant proceeds will go towards the development of zero-emission vehicle charging infrastructure readiness plans for the counties that receive funding. And RCRC has identified two regions, one encompassing Modoc, Siskiyou, and Trinity counties. And so we would be applying as one of those regions. If the other counties were not successful in their grant applications, we could move forward just as a county with the assistance of RCRC. There is additional detail in the agenda item in front of you guys this morning, but I'll keep it short. And this morning, staff is asking that the board approve county staff to work with RCRC to develop a grant application and necessary documents for zero-emission vehicle funding. Staff is also requesting that the county administrator or her designee be authorized to sign any necessary documents related to this effort. If timing is critical, staff would then bring back these items for board ratification. With that, I'm happy to take any questions the board might have.
Thank you. Questions from the board? Go ahead, Supervisor Howe.
So, is this money just for planning or is there implementation dollars?
So, at this point, it is for planning,
okay.
And it could move into implementation later on. If you guys are to approve the item this morning, we would be working with RCRC to develop our grant application, the guidelines, and those details would come as we develop that. We do have a due date of, I believe, January 18th to at least get board approval to move forward with this with RCRC.
Will the plan address areas outside the I-5 corridor?
I think it likely could, and I will request that.
And sorry, I got Supervisor Coker.
There is a match requirement of just under 11.5%. Where does that come from?
Good job researching the item. So that could be in-kind services, either through county staff time or RCRC's time. So we would plan to match that through either staff time or RCRC's contribution of time.
Okay, and then the 50% of that that has to serve underserved communities, being that we're looking at the I-5 corridor, moving away from the corridor, how does that come into the project scope?
We would develop that as we develop the project scope and ensure that we meet that at least 50% requirement and look towards those areas outside of the I-5 corridor,
okay,
as well. Those plans have not been developed at this point.
Okay, because we already have EV charging stations in town.
Correct. Correct.
So we need to, you know, really focus on areas that are not, you know, right along the gas station realm.
Correct.
You know, we need to look away from that a little bit more. Okay. Thank you.
Supervisor Chris.
Thank you. And then as we move along this to working with other counties and states, for example, Tula Lake has Highway 139. So charging station, whether it be at Tula Lake or if Klamath County is doing it, Merrill Millennium's right there as well, so coordination with outside areas. For the bank, for the back, and then you guys have it centered in our area, of course, for our economy, but the bank, for the back.
Okay.
Will do. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Further comment? Okay, let's see. Wishes of the board.
So moved.
So we have a motion by Supervisor Chris.
Second
by Supervisor Johnson.
And that's the recommended motion, correct? That's on the worksheet?
Yes, that is.
Thank you. Okay, Supervisor Howe.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Sure.
Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Cupson.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
How are we on 7A? Do we have info on that?
I need to check my email to see if it was sent.
Okay. So I'll move on to item 7C, General Services.
Good morning, Amanda Kimball, project coordinator for the General Services. I provided you guys with some pictures of the current fix that you guys approved last month for the resolution for emergency at Overland Road Transfer Station. We are asking to continue with the emergency. We would like to move forward and fix the push wall right there in the corner where they push the trash up. It is not secure. So those cement blocks are just kind of there. The next step would be to drill in and secure them so that they do not move.
Okay. Questions from the board? No questions.
Move to approve.
I have a motion by Supervisor Valenzuela.
Second.
And again, that's the recommended motion that's on the worksheet. Thank you.
Thank you.
All righty. Supervisor Hill.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Mm-hmm.
Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Kopsek.
Aye.
Thank you.
Let's move on. Yeah, I know, but I don't know if she's ready. You ready? No.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to recess as the Board of Supervisors and Committees of Flood Control and Water Conservation District on item 8A, public comment. No public comment in-house. Any online?
Showing none online.
None online. Move to 8B, transfer of funds.
Move to approve.
I have a motion to approve in a second.
Thank you. All righty. Director Hupp?
Aye.
Director Valenzuela?
Sure.
Director Chris?
Aye.
Director Ogren?
Aye.
Director Kopsek?
Aye. Minute approval for December 5th?
I have received no corrections for those minutes.
Okay. Move to approve. Motion to approve.
Second.
And a second.
Give me just a sec here. Was it Valenzuela?
Mm-hmm.
And Ogren? Thank you. All righty. Director Hupp?
Aye.
Director Valenzuela?
Yep.
Director Chris?
Aye.
Director Ogren?
Aye.
Director Kopsek?
Aye. Minute approval for December 12th, 8D.
Move to approve.
Move to approve. Second. Supervisor Hupp?
All righty. Director Hupp?
Aye.
Director Valenzuela?
Yep.
Director Chris?
Aye.
Director Ogren?
Aye.
Director Kopsek?
Aye. We'll adjourn as the Siskiyou County Flood Control and Water Conservation District. Ready? We're going to go back to item 7A. Shelley, are you still with us out there?
I am. I'm here waiting for you, yes.
I think we're ready. She's pulling up the presentation right now.
Wonderful. And I can see down my screen. Can you see down yours?
Yes.
Perfect. Thank you. I'm Shelley Bostel. I'm a principal consultant for Tilson Technology. The Tilson team prepared the broadband planning and feasibility study in coordination with the Golden State Finance Authority. The Tilson Technology researched telecommunications industry in the county, including locations of existing fiber, other assets and service areas and service offerings of retail internet service providers in the county, the location, premises lacking access to adequate broadband service and available funding for broadband infrastructure. These findings then inform the custom recommendations to support the county's pursuit of broadband network deployment. At this point, I'd like to go ahead and recognize our partners in the process. First, it would be the U.S. Department of Commerce, Economic Development Grant Administration, the EDA, which provided grant funding, and of course, the Golden State Finance Authority, which served as the contract manager and grant administrator for this project on behalf of its member counties. Next slide, please. The purpose of today's presentation really is to provide you with an overview of this single document that includes everything local government may need to know to be an active participant in broadband planning and deployment. And I apologize, there's a typo in there, in Siskiyou County. And really, I want to also thank you for the due diligence you provided us in reading the draft document. We received the comments back on December 28th, and we will incorporate the comments and questions. All of the questions will be addressed in the appendix section, so you'll see that. And really what we'll talk about is the final document today, which looks a lot, will look like a lot like the draft, but this will provide you with an update about how to look at the document. Next slide, please. So I'm going to focus on three areas today. First, the outreach and engagement process, the study outline and some highlights, and then next steps. Actually, next steps, I'm not going to talk a lot about because we are already through the first two of the next steps, and the final will be that Tilson Technology will deliver your final document first quarter of this year. Next slide, please. So outreach and engagement. We really targeted specific groups to gather information about the existing ecosystem of broadband in the county. We talked to businesses, internet service providers, and community anchor institutions. Next slide, please. And I will add that we surveyed the businesses, internet service providers, and community anchor institutions, and the results of that those surveys are included in the document. So the document itself is constructed with 10 sections, and they're really designed to build from one to the other. But the most informative section, I think, is the executive summary, in that it gives you kind of a guideline or a framework from which to view the rest of the document. So it'll highlight sections and describe them for you. So if you have a particular interest, you can jump to a section and just read that section. I will say the first half of the document, too, is designed really to give basic information so that everyone has the same starting point, regardless of their familiarity with the subject matter. So as you roll through the document, it will get more technical, but it will provide that foundation so that it makes the second half of the document easy to understand. Some of the areas I do want to highlight are bold there, and that would be the broadband funding strategies and what is a smart community, and then of course recommendations and next steps. So next slide, please. So I'm going to not go into this, the funding summary, too deeply, because I know that this is at the top of everyone's mind, where the next funding is available and how to take advantage of it. So we do cover that at length in the document. And so if you have a particular interest in that area, I would recommend you go to that section. Next slide, please. I want to talk a little bit about smart communities because I think this is a really interesting evolution that comes from the deployment of technology. And this is really an opportunity for local government to collaborate with citizens and look at all aspects of quality of life aspects for residents and then really determine priorities. And smart community technologies can range from energy consumption, traffic management, sensor technology in public places, public transportation. It really runs the gamut. And this allows that engagement and prioritization and work with residents of the county. So I think it's a really interesting thing to talk about. And as you read through some of the recommendations for Siskiyou County, think about how you might engage residents in talking about what would be important to them. Next slide, please. And then again, next steps. We have already moved on to next steps as you've provided your comments and your questions to the document. So the last step in the process will be the final study, which will be delivered the first quarter of 2020. And that is the end of my presentation.
Thank you. Anyone else to comment on this before I bring it to the board? Nope. Anything from Barbara? I see she's online.
Yes, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay?
Good morning, Barbara.
Thank you. Thank you, Supervisor Cotsa, for the invitation. We just wanted today to take a few minutes of all of your time to introduce this document to you. It was, as Shelley mentioned, the result of a grant that you participated in, Siskiyou County participated in, along with 26 other RCRC member counties from the U.S. Economic Development Administration. And the real intent of this document was to create a resource for you as elected officials that you could turn to really be a part of the broadband discussion in Siskiyou County. And I know all of you are very involved in that conversation already, but we're really hoping that there are some nuggets in here that might provide some insight or ways in which you have looked at broadband in the past that are now, as a result of the passage of SB 156 in July of 2021, which now allows counties to be involved in broadband, that you'll play even a bigger role going forward. And we're hoping that this document can serve as a resource to that end.
If I could get your name, this is the clerk, if I could get your name for the record.
I'm sorry, it's Barbara Hayes. I'm the Chief Economic Development Officer at Rural County Representatives of California.
Thank you.
And Golden State Finance Authority is one of our affiliate entities and was the applicant to the EDA grant on behalf of, as I mentioned, member counties.
Thank you, Barbara. So, questions from the board. Supervisor Okren, do you want to lead off?
Oh, sure. Barbara and Shelley, thank you both so much for all of your work on this. This has been an enormous project and a huge lift for all the counties that are involved. And it's still, to me, been just a little bit overwhelming to wrap my head around everything that we need to do as a county and to make this happen. And I understand how much your organizations have been involved and how much we depend on you to actually see some kind of project completion. And I hate to be a negative Nancy, but I'm still just trying to get to an end, and I know that these documents lead us down that path, but I'm still trying to figure out how we're going to get there. And one of my biggest concerns in reading the document is all of the emphasis on the word locality, and that we as the locality, the county, need to find the resources and the capacity to have public outreach and moving the projects forward, whether through every single part of this as we move closer to actual project completion. And it really worries me that we don't have the bandwidth, so to speak, to do this. And I really need your input on that, as well as, you know, getting down into the nitty-gritty of how we didn't have a whole lot of success with public outreach and surveys to begin with. I don't think that we were able to give you a whole lot of information to begin with, and that it wasn't great information from the public, and I'm really concerned that as we move forward, we're not going to be able to do that. And that worries me, that we're not going to get the best information to you to come up with really good, solid projects. Those are just some of my basic concerns, and I hope that you can help us better with that. The other thing that I'm excited about, which, how about that, I'm excited about something, is that our local transportation commission is great, and I hope that we can come up with some really great projects moving forward with the LTC as far as the smart communities go, and I'm hoping that you can help guide us with that. So I'll leave it at that. Thank you, ladies.
Any comment
back?
Thank
you.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I would just say this is Barbara Hayes. Supervisor Oberon, your concerns, I'll start with the concerning part of it, your concerns are well-founded. It is overwhelming. It can be overwhelming. And, you know, county governments weren't as intimately involved, weren't permitted to be as intimately involved in broadband deployment prior to the summer of 2021. So it's a very, very steep learning curve. And as you are aware, we have RCRC created Golden State Connect Authority for the express purpose of providing that assistance and information and guidance to a certain degree. So we've been approaching it kind of globally across our 40 member counties for the first couple of years here. But as we get into specific project related work, you will start to see more and more of us at the local level, and we will link arms with you and gather that community input, because without it, you know, how do we define good projects? Because the data that the public agencies have at the state and federal level is not as clear as it could be. The other tremendous benefit that you all have up there is Plymouth Sierra Telephone. So we look forward to working with them, with that entity, as a partner going forward. You're lucky to have them, and we look forward to partnering with them going forward. So there will be more conversations, and we'll get more micro, more local in those conversations, and get more information from the local folks as far as what's going on as we move forward, most certainly.
Barbara, did you mean Siskiyou Telephone?
I'm sorry, did I say Plymouth Sierra?
Yep.
I'm so sorry. Yes, I of course meant Siskiyou Telephone.
Thank you.
See, you and Siskiyou and Plymouth Sierra, they're just wonderful local resources and players and providers.
You do realize we have other providers in this county besides one entity, right? And I don't mean AT&T either.
Yes, of course. Of course. I say Siskiyou because they've been the one that we've spoken to the most, mm-hmm. as far as our FFA, our federal fund account last mile application. So we'll coordinate with them as far as when those awards are announced. But yes, you have many players. You're lucky to have so many local providers.
Is there a time when we will have an opportunity to sit down at the table with all of the ISP providers and have that conversation, or is it a one-on-one type of a conversation? How does that work?
We can do it however you'd like to do it. We could do one-on-ones, or we could do a group meeting and coordinate it through the broadband consortia that covers that area.
Okay. Yeah, I'd like to have that conversation at some point. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the tough part for me is that this is, talk about private business. They deregulated the telephone company, and now you want to re-regulate it somehow? I don't know how you play that card out. And so Siskiyou Tel is a good example. They're lit up. The issue isn't availability, it's cost.
Yeah.
So I've been working with the ACP program. I've been working with social service about a mass mailing. We're barely at 50% threshold for people that can access that. So I think there's small hanging fruit that we can do. I don't know how it plays out in the rest of the county, only what I've seen. Mount Shasta's got more fiber than they know what to do with, because they got entities coming in. I think it catches up at some point. So I think for me, I would kind of interested in what kind of projects we would quote unquote partner with. But that's a touchy subject for me when it comes to supporting, you know, capitalistic for-profit businesses.
And that's part of what I'm trying to weed out here or get to is, number one, how do we get this information to all of our constituents and also to all of the ISPs and lay it out for everybody to make it a fair playing field for everybody to have that information and be able to make decisions so that everybody knows what's going on and it is truly open access for everybody, and then figure out how we can manage it and work with everybody at the same time and come up with something that we can all deal with and understand. Because I believe that it's a big thing to wrap our head around, but we have to come up with some kind of plan and not just take little pieces and go, we can do that, we can do that, but we have to have a plan. And this document is kind of that plan. But in order to do that, we really have to bring everybody together and get everybody talking together, working together, and have our public understand what we're trying to do. And I don't think we've done that very well yet. And it's a little confusing for everyone. That's kind of where I am with it.
Supervisor Ogren, as the Siskiyou County Board Representative to Golden State Connect Authority, I'd be happy to work with you and staff to organize such a meeting and facilitate that conversation.
Thank you, Barbara. I'd love that.
Okay.
Sure.
Supervisor
Haupt. Supervisor Haupt from District 5. I've got two questions, and pardon my ignorance on broadband. The first is, on the map it shows unserved in Salmon River as a geographic area in your packet. I guess my question is, I know that Salmon River has fiber optic all the way down the river. But I don't, is the technology such that can't be tied into for broadband residences?
That's the problem, is it can be, and that's, it's costly. But
right, that's the issue.
That's the issue.
You can have broadband anywhere you want, you just gotta pay for it. We don't want to pay for it. We want, and that's the issue, right?
That's what it comes down to.
Because there's fiber all the way down there.
Right.
Yeah. Accessing is not an issue. Paying for it is the issue.
It's the last mile part that's the costly part.
Yeah. Well, most of the residences are almost on top of the fiber optic that runs down the river. That's why I'm asking the question.
And that's what we're trying to address. So, Barbara, you might be able to help us with that.
I'm sorry?
Ray, ask your question louder.
In a cursory look at the packet, it looked like Salmon River underserved and would not be addressed.
Yeah.
Yet fiber optic runs along the river, and most of the homes, almost all of them, actually sit almost on top of that fiber optic. But yet it's deemed cost prohibitive for hookups. Can you explain that a little bit?
Well, it could be a number of things. I'm not that familiar with that area, but happy to look into it more. It could be that the provider just didn't offer the expansion or the last mile service. They might run fiber through on a way to somewhere else. That could be the situation. But we can definitely look into that. If it's shown as unserved, that's likely, or it will be based on data that's provided by providers to the CPUC. So, if the data is accurate, and that's a big if, and those homes are in fact unserved and they're sitting on top of fiber, then it does get into one of two things, either economics, as was noted, or what the plan was for the owner of the fiber. You know, if it was just meant to be a middle mile extension or a path to somewhere else.
Some clarification, I guess. So the fiber optic is owned by Siskiyou Telephone. It has been there for years because it serves the federal agency offices and the school district offices
right
over there, but not the public. And I'm particularly concerned because that segment of my district has no commercial power and has no commercial phone service. So internet is their only connectivity to the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like, and again, this is, I haven't looked at this closely, but just as you described it, it sounds like that might have been funded by the E-Rate program, which is a federal grant that connects, is only allowed to connect school districts, libraries. It's not great public policy because the fiber, as you mentioned, probably runs right under or right in front of those homes. And unfortunately, one of the requirements of accepting the grant dollars to lay the fiber to connect the schools and the libraries is that it only be used for that purpose.
Hmm. Okay, and then my second question is regarding cost. Siskiyou Telephone has very good service. However, it is pretty costly, and it stems from two things that Western Siskiyou County suffers from. We don't have free markets because we have no free choice. Siskiyou Telephone has some special agreement with a monopoly on the telecommunications, so you can't get another service that serves the area in Western Siskiyou County, and it's also true of cable services and TV services that we're locked out of the market and are locked in because of federal communication regulations to only the Medford market, which have nothing to do with the area. You can't receive the signal anyway. I'm interested in whether or not this endeavor we're looking at is going to increase competition.
Well, if Golden State Connect Authority were to come in, and we would do so, there are a couple of gates that must open for us to do so. One is to receive some grant dollars from the state for which we've applied, and then the second is, I think, that will be the result of the local conversations that we have with you all. But the system that Golden State Connect Authority is proposing to build is that of open access. So what that means is Golden State Connect Authority would finance, construct, own, operate, and maintain the infrastructure and invite providers onto that network. So what it does, Supervisor, is it by its very nature an open access system invites competition and choice.
And that's a major concern to me. Just as an end up, as you know, a disclosure here, the broadband that serves my home in that area has to have a dedicated data line hookup as well. The monthly service for the broadband, as well as that requirement on that phone line, is $110 a month. Mm-hmm. That seems out of line for serving the district with the most disadvantaged communities in the county, and the competition, I think, would really help the lower income folks be able to connect and maybe pull themselves out of the economic situation they're in through small business development.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Supervisor Chris?
Yeah, thank you. The way I view this is kind of like the mail service rural free delivery that happened years ago, or the rural electrification that occurred, I think, in the 1930s. That Senate Bill 156, $106 million investment. The return on investment is going to be, in the rural areas, it's just going to take longer. But there won't be a return on investment, so maybe a government has a subsidy to keep that going. On page 11 of the report, it talked about, on the third bullet down, talk about potentially introducing competition with Siskiyou Telephone Company in the eastern region. I believe you mean the NorCal or the Bee Valley area over there.
Did you catch that, Barbara?
It was breaking up. I'm sorry, Supervisor Chris, it was breaking up. Were you asking if it included a certain certain area?
No, I was asking on page 11, the third bullet point down, talk about Siskiyou Telephone Company in the eastern region. Mount Hebron, McDowell, Somerset area. I believe you intend to say Orcal in that section.
Sorry, I lost it.
We can email that to you. You notice I ironically
okay,
having
that
this
would be great.
Talk about broadband.
Yeah, and we can talk more in depth about it when I'm up there in person for the meeting that we talked about earlier with the ISPs.
And then some other things to throw out there. I see the McDowell Somerset area. I can use that name often, the McDowell Mount Hebron area. Orcal Telephone Company was a locally owned business, and the gentleman that sold it made it a requirement, and he had to hang on to it longer, was older by the time he was able to sell it, that the business stay within the Deep Valley community. It's one of the major employers in Deep Valley. And so when we talk about competition, are we looking at partnership with these local telephone companies? And then if we do compete, who will be the person out there on the ground doing the repairs and doing the fixing on it? You know, some areas there has to be, I don't use the word monopoly, but there has to be some sort of monopoly in the sense of return on investment.
Right.
And so in regards to these areas, local employers, local jobs, such as Calor, telephone, but then also the maintenance of those lines over the years.
Right, and what we really, when I say partnership, it really is undefined at this point, but open to all conversations. So we're looking at ways that we can partner with local providers to extend their reach on the open access network, to contract with them, to perhaps provide the maintenance, the trucks rolling, on behalf of Golden State Connect, were we to be in that area. We're really looking for opportunities and are open to all as far as conversation for partnership.
All right. I just know those are highly technical jobs, and for the rural areas, they're actually pretty good paying for someone. They don't have to necessarily, they can stay local, grow local, and have a high-paying job. On page 130, 132, in that general area, it talked about a central coordinator for the county. So whoever that person is, I wanted to throw out two things. Unfortunately, or fortunately, I would look at it with report being done on the COPCO area. I see that as an unserved area. The maps, maybe partnership if the roads or public works, those sorts of things are being done. That those final connect the last mile, they call it for the last mile, maybe combined with those things would be a boost for that community. Try to eliminate out of lemons and try to make that work there. When I think of the McLeod area, McLeod has unfortunately a housing shortage, and we're looking at different aspects here at the board. There's a lot of second homes there, and so there's a lot of people that live down south that would love to live in McLeod, but they can't because the jobs aren't there at high. So they have second or third homes, so they can come up during the summer months and enjoy those times. Having this service to where the person can be employed in McLeod, and that make that second home their first home. Would be outstanding, and they may even have, you know, a 10-year-old or a 12-year-old there as well that would have to go to school in McLeod, which would help out the local community with school deals. So I bring those up. Whoever the ICS, I view that as ICS, the central person, the program manager. I see someone's taking the notes here. Whoever that is, those are things that I would bring up for the team. And that's all for me, please.
Go ahead. Thank you.
Anyone else? Barbara and Shelley, thank you for the presentation. We look forward to working with you.
Thank you, supervisors. Thank you for your time today.
You okay yet?
Great.
Take a 5-minute Great. We'll recess until 10:10.